Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Redeemer Theological Academy. Confessing Christ to an Unbelieving World. With Pastor Brian Keschelmeyer.
You're listening to the Redeemer Theological Academy with Pastor Brian Keschelmeyer of Redeemer Lutheran Church, Los Alamos, New Mexico. On the Redeemer Theological Academy, we mine the riches of the Scripture and the Church Fathers and find in them Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer. Here's the Academy with Pastor Keschelmeyer.
Welcome back to the Redeemer Theological Academy. Now, in our last lecture, we continued our conversation on Isaiah 63. We still have a lot of verses to cover, so let's go ahead and get started. Picking up at verse 8. For he said, "Surely they are my people, children who will not deal falsely." And he became their Savior. Now, with these words, the Lord is speaking comfort to the afflicted, in which he refers to the people of Israel as his people, saying, my people, instead of saying that people over there or those people over here somewhere else. Other people, but not my people. Instead, he says very clearly, surely they are my people. These words of comfort echo the voice of God in Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort, comfort, O my people, says your God. God is assuring his people, the afflicted ones, the ones who are distressed, the ones who are uncertain. They are falling into doubt and despair. They are being cast to and fro from all the different waves and all of the different tribulations and trials of this life. But yet the Lord is assuring them, the afflicted ones, these are his people, my people. He is the Savior, their Savior, not just a generic Savior, but the one who comes to save them. Yahweh alone is their Savior. Like in Isaiah 45, there is no other God besides me, a righteous God and a Savior. There is none besides me. There is no other Savior. There's only one Savior who comes to save us from our sins. Again, these are words of comfort to the afflicted. Surely they are my people, children who will not deal falsely, and he became their Savior. And we continue at chapter 63, verse 9. In all their affliction, he was afflicted, and the messenger of his face saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. He lifted them up, and he carried them all the days of old. Now notice that the afflicted hear this word of comfort, that their Savior comes to save them. And who's the Savior? Well, the messenger of his face. Now, who's the his? Yahweh, the Father. Thus, the messenger sent by the Father is none other than the Son, the very Word of God, the essential Word of God, eternally begotten of the Father. Now, once again, in a passage like this, we are taught to make a distinction in the plurality of persons of the Holy Blessed Trinity. We have a distinction between his face and the messenger of his face. Again, we have one who sends and one who is sent. Thus, the Father sends the Son. So here we're taught to make a distinction between the Father and the Son. Now keep in mind, when pronouns are used to refer to another person, we are taught to make a distinction between the plurality of persons of the one Godhead. We have the messenger of his face. Now again, the messenger is the pre-incarnate Christ, the second person of the Holy Blessed Trinity, the Word, the one who comes to speak, the one who's always the spokesman of the divine Trinity, the one who speaks in behalf of Elohim. He is the Word of the Father. He's the one who saved them, brought salvation. He's the Savior. He's Jesus who saves his people from their sins. But now notice in this passage in particular, teaching us the mystery of the incarnation, that he was afflicted in their affliction. Notice God is afflicted when we are afflicted. Pointing to the mystery of the incarnation, the passion of the Christ, that God comes to dwell with us. The Word becomes flesh. He is the God of the afflicted, and he is afflicted with us and for us. There we also learn about the mystical union of Christ and his church, the understanding of Christ being the head and the church being the body. For example, we see this in Acts chapter 9. In the beginning of Acts, you have Saul who is going out and he is persecuting the church. So Acts chapter 9 verse 1 begins in this way, saying, "But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus whom you are persecuting.'" Now notice that this passage here in Acts chapter 9, we're taught about this mystical union, that when the body of Christ, the church, is persecuted, Christ, who is the head, is persecuted with the church. This mystical union, what is done to the church is done to Christ. What you do to the least of these, his brethren, you do to him. And of course, on the flip side, what you fail to do to the least of these, his brethren, you fail to do to Christ. Now, that's also seen on the picture of the last day with the separation between the goats and the sheep. The sheep are those who hear his voice and rejoice and believe and trust in his promises. But the goats despise his word. They reject it and they resist the work of the Holy Spirit, and they fail to love the least of the brethren of Christ. And those goats then do those very actions against Christ when they fail to love the least. Now hear this mystical union. Now, this is the mystical union, that when Christ's people are afflicted, he is afflicted. Thus Isaiah says, "In all their affliction he was afflicted, and the messenger of his face saved them." We also see this picture in Zechariah chapter 2, in which Yahweh of hosts says, "The one who touches you touches the apple of his eye. Therefore, when the apple of his eye is touched, he is touched. When his people are afflicted, he is afflicted." Thus in Isaiah 63, pointing to the passion of the Christ, In all their affliction he was afflicted, and the messenger of his face saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them. Now notice the passion. In love and in pity for the people of God. He redeems. And again, this is that goel. He is going to be the kinsman redeemer. He's going to be of our own flesh and blood. He's the one who lifts them up. He's the one who carries them. That he's the one that comes to save us and to rescue us. Now we need to be very clear here that we're not talking about a created angelic being. Instead, it is God himself who will ransom them. God himself who is afflicted with them and for them. God does this. All of this gives to us the picture of the passion of the Christ, the mystery of the incarnation, that the Father sends the Son. The Word of God becomes man. He takes upon flesh and blood in order to suffer and to die, in order for his blood to be shed and poured out to sanctify us and make us holy in his presence. Throughout the Old Testament, we have a clear picture of the incarnation, the Father sending the Son. The one who sends is the person of the Father, and the one who is sent is the person of the Son. For example, if you go back to Genesis chapter 16, you see Hagar. Now, who's Hagar? Well, if you recall with me, Abraham had a wife, Sarai, who was barren, but God gave a promise that she would have a son. Well, Abraham and Sarah, they take matters into their own hands and say that, well, she's not going to have a son, but God's promise must come to fruition. Therefore, Abraham takes Hagar as a second wife. Well, then, of course, this was not the fulfillment of God's promise, for God promised that through Sarah, or Sarai, before the name change, that God would give that son Isaac. Isaac is the son of the promise. But now at the same time, of course, Hagar has a son too. Her son's name is Ishmael. Now if you go to Genesis chapter 16, you have an account where the messenger of Yahweh comes to Hagar in her affliction, in her distress. Because remember, Sarah sends her away. And we pick up in Genesis 16. The messenger of Yahweh also said to her, I will surely multiply your offspring so that they cannot be numbered for multitude. And the messenger of Yahweh said to her, Behold, you are pregnant and shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Ishmael. Because Yahweh has listened to your affliction. He shall be a wild donkey of a man, his hand against everyone and everyone's hand against him. And he shall dwell over against all his kinsmen. So she called the name of Yahweh who spoke to her, You are a God of seeing. For she said, Truly here I have seen him who looks after me. Now, in this passage, we want to understand that Yahweh is speaking about Yahweh. And the way we're taught to make the distinction in the plurality of persons is with the use of a messenger. Yahweh who sends and Yahweh who is sent. So Yahweh who is sent is the one who is speaking to Hagar. And so when Hagar finishes the conversation, Hagar says that she refers to Yahweh who spoke to her as a God of seeing. But the one who spoke to her is none other than the Word of God, the second person of the Holy Trinity. The messenger of Yahweh who comes and speaks. This is the Yahweh that spoke to her. This is the person in which she had a conversation. This is the God of seeing her in her affliction. Now, again, in a passage like this, with the use of the term or the title, Messenger of Yahweh, we're able to make a distinction between Yahweh who sends and Yahweh who is sent. Yahweh who speaks, that's the Word of God, the second person of the Blessed Holy Trinity. He speaks about Yahweh as one person speaks about another person. So the speaking Yahweh is saying that Yahweh has listened to your affliction. Of course, there are not two different Yahwehs. Yahweh is one. The Father is Yahweh, the Son is Yahweh, and the Holy Spirit is Yahweh. Now keep in mind that the second person of the Holy Trinity is the very Word of God. When the Father speaks, He sends forth the Son. Therefore, throughout the whole Old Testament, we are being taught about the mystery of the Incarnation. Only the Son takes upon flesh and dies. Only the Word is incarnate and dwells among us. Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God. For example, in the very next chapter in Genesis chapter 17, when the Word is spoken, the Son is sent. Therefore, the text says, when Abraham was 99 years old, Yahweh appeared to Abraham and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, that I may make my covenant between me and you, and may multiply you greatly. Now again, notice it's the Son who is sent. He is the one who appears to Abraham. Abraham sees the Son, and the Word speaks and says, I am God Almighty. In both places, Yahweh says He will multiply the offspring. Or another example you see in Genesis chapter 31 about the God of Bethel. Now in chapter 31, we pick up at verse 11. Then the messenger of God said to me in the dream, Jacob. And I said, Here I am. And he said, Lift up your eyes and see, all the goats that mate with the flock are striped, spotted, or molted. For I have seen all that Laban is doing to you. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed a pillar and made a vow to me. Now arise, go out from this land and return to the land of your kindred. Now just some background about this passage. We were talking first about Abraham, his promised son Isaac, and then Isaac has two sons, Jacob and Esau. Now, in Genesis chapter 31, we're following the history of Jacob, for this is the line of Abraham from which the Messiah will come. That the patriarchs Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they've been given the promise of the seed of the woman who would crush the serpent's head. Now, this promise of the Christ, of course, goes from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob. Now, in this passage, notice that the messenger of God, the messenger of Elohim, speaks to Jacob, and he says, I am the God of Bethel. Bethel meaning the house of God. He says, I am that God. Now, there's only one God. There's not a multitude of gods. There's only one God. The Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. Now here the angel of God, or the messenger of God, is saying, I am the God of Bethel. Well now, in order to go back to the God of Bethel, we need to go back to Genesis chapter 28, in which we have the account of the God of Bethel who appeared to Jacob. So in Genesis chapter 28, Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he came to a certain place and stayed there that night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed. And behold, there was a ladder set upon the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, Yahweh stood above it and said, I am Yahweh, the God of Abraham your father and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and to your offspring. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely Yahweh is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. So early in the morning, Jacob took the stone that he had put under his head and set it up for a pillar and poured oil on the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of the city was Luz at first. Then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and clothing to wear, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then Yahweh shall be my God. And this stone, which I have set up for a pillar, shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give a full tenth to you. Now this is the account that Moses writes for us in Genesis chapter 28. Now, who's the God of Bethel, the place that Jacob names the house of God? Well, it's Yahweh. It's none other than Yahweh who speaks to Jacob. This is Yahweh who appears to Jacob. Now, no one has ever seen God. Instead, they have seen the only begotten God, who is the Son, the one who is at the Father's right hand. It's always the Word of God, the second person of the Holy Trinity, the essential Word, who comes to reveal to us, to appear to us, so that we would see God. And as Jesus says, when you've seen me, you have seen the Father. Well, the God of Bethel is none other than Yahweh. Again, Yahweh is one. There is no other God beside him. Well, in Genesis 28, Yahweh speaks. Jacob sees Yahweh. He names the place the house of God, and then later on, in Genesis 31, this is when the messenger of God speaks to him and says, I am the God of Bethel. Again, the second person of the Holy Trinity is the one who appears, the one who comes to us in the midst of our affliction, the one who comes to dwell with us, the one who comes to be with us. Here we have incarnational language. Just like in Isaiah, he is called Emmanuel, God with us. Now, later on in the book of Genesis, I want you to see this again, especially in Genesis chapter 48, when Jacob blesses Joseph. Now, remember, Jacob has 12 sons, and they become the 12 tribes of Israel. In fact, Jacob's name is changed to Israel when he wrestles with God. Of course, none other than the second person of the Holy Trinity, the pre-incarnate Christ. But what I want you to see here is in chapter 48, when Jacob is blessing Joseph, one of his 12 sons. Now, Genesis 48, verses 15 and 16 reads this. He blessed Joseph and said, "The God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life long to this day, the messenger who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the boys, and in them let my name be carried on, in the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth." I want you to notice here that Jacob, Israel, is blessing Joseph with the name of God three times. Now, in the Old Testament, when the name or title of God is used three times, it always bears witness to the Holy Trinity. Notice in particular what Jacob is doing. He's saying, first, the God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked. Next, the God who has been my shepherd all my life long to this day. Then, the messenger who has redeemed me from all evil. Now notice three times, the God, the messenger. Now, the messenger, of course, is given equal honor and glory with the God before whom Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been the shepherd of Jacob his whole life. This is the messenger, the angel, the second person of the Trinity who is sent to redeem him from evil, pointing to the person and work of Christ. We want to see this very clearly. It's no different than in baptism when we're baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, or the blessing of Aaron, in which he says, Yahweh bless you and keep you. Yahweh's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Yahweh lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Again, in that blessing of Aaron, you have the name of Yahweh used three times. Well, here in a blessing, Joseph is being blessed in the name of Yahweh three times by Jacob. Of course, later on in Exodus chapter 3, the messenger of Yahweh is seen in the burning bush by Moses. Remember what happens. Moses writes and says, "The messenger of Yahweh appeared in a flame of fire and out of the midst of a bush. Moses looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. When Yahweh saw that he turned aside to see, God called him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not come near, take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you're standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God." Now again, notice that in this account, we have the messenger of God, the messenger of Yahweh in the bush. And then when he speaks, he says, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Moses sees God. When he sees the messenger of Yahweh, he sees Yahweh himself. Now, one more passage later on at the end of the life of Moses in Deuteronomy 33, Moses gives equal honor and glory to the messenger, and he blesses the tribe of Joseph in a very similar way to Jacob. Moses says, "Blessed by Yahweh be this land," and then he goes on to say, "and the favor of him who dwells in the bush." Well, who dwells in the bush? The messenger of Yahweh, Yahweh who appeared to Moses and said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Redeemer Theological Academy. For more episodes or to leave comments about this show, please visit our website, RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Again, that's RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Thanks for listening, and may our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, continue to be your life and salvation, your hope and your peace.